This is Jabari Walker, and you're listening to the Blazers Balcony with Brooke Olsendam and KZ Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to the Blazers Balcony, episode 121 of the Blazers Balcony, the first North Portland edition of the Blazers Balcony. I am KZ Holdall. I'm joined by my friend, co-worker, co-host, co-friend, Brooke Olsendam. Brooke, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm petting your dogs right now.
Yeah, Brooke is up here at the North Portland compound. Usually we're at Brooke's, if we're doing it in person in Portland, we're at Brooke's Palatial Estate in Southeast Portland. But since, you know, this is the off season and, you know, we're mixing things up a little bit. So Brooke was kind enough to sojourn up here to North Portland to record this podcast, our last one of the season, or first one of the off season, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brooke. It was quite a journey.
Your pleasure is all mine. I'm literally holding your dog's face in my hands right now, if people can see. But anyways, so yeah, the journey from Southwest Portland to Casey's neighborhood is something. It's very far.
Yes.
And it's so funny. Our neighborhoods are so different. So I'm in Southwest Portland, which is very like welcoming, and it's very like highly, it's like a lot of pedestrians. Mm-hmm. It's very walking, like people are walking around. I live near a mosque, so people are always walking around and everyone's like, hi. And it's just like a very chill neighborhood. And so I got an Uber to come here because Casey and I were going to get a beer after this, to be quite honest. And so I never drive after that. So I, as we were getting closer to your neighborhood, I kind of started feeling like it was getting a little more hard.
Yeah.
And there's a little more attitude up here in North Portland.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from a lot of people. And it's not like the first time I've ever been here, but I just felt the difference as I got closer to your place and the tood was high. And now we're here and I'm feeling like a little gangsta.
Yeah. So where you're at, you're a little more neighborhood-y for mm-hmm. sure. And yeah, up here in North Portland, it's a little more, it's a little more rough and tumble. Yeah. It's
well, you've had your tires stolen like what, 5 times?
Well, we've had cars stolen from, but that was like a decade and a half ago. It's actually it's turned quite a bit here throughout the time that I've lived here in North Portland.
I'm not dogging on North.
No. And I don't take it that way at all. But
it's
but
like the best neighborhoods and the best like.
You are correct though that like I mean it's there are different vibes, and I mean I feel like Portland neighborhoods, and maybe this is just something you get from actually living in the town, but I feel like neighborhoods in Portland, more than a lot of the places that we go, do have like their own very distinct kind of natures to them. Whereas I feel like sometimes, you know, you're in some of these cities and then they don't feel like the same everywhere you go, but it's like, you know, it's kind of one city. And like the fact that Portland is broken up into quadrants and people are pretty kind of adamant about like what each one of those quadrants means, leads me to believe that you're onto something there. Yeah. And they're just, it's different vibes. And yeah, like, you know, where I'm at here, you're like one of the last exits before it becomes the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I'm the last exit before it becomes Washington. So right. Like it is, you know, there's a lot of play in there.
When I was looking for a home, like when I was looking for, to buy my first house ever, I came up and I was in, what's the neighborhood right north of you? What's it called? You said it when I texted you earlier.
Well, so Kenton is...
Kenton, yes.
Well, no, this is Kenton.
Oh, this is Kenton. Yeah. Okay. So I would say North Portland, where we're at now. And by the way, shout out to John LaCrofka, who is very proud of his North
So North John LaCrofka Portland. Lives in Northeast, but...
No, I know.
Walt lives just...
Walt?
Yeah, oh. Well, Walt is like 4 or 5 blocks away.
Oh, we should have had Walt come over and
Walt's
be
North. I think Walt's maybe in Sacramento still.
Oh, he looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah, no, whatever he was out doing, it wasn't... I mean, it might have been Blazer related, but it wasn't basketball related.
So. No, he was having fun with his buds.
Yeah, good for you, Walt.
Yeah, good for you, Walt. Walt works very hard. We love Walt. I wish he was here. If he's in town, Walt. Well, he won't hear this live. Yeah. Never mind. But we wish Walt was here. Anyways, so North Portland has a vibe, I would say, that's very like, I don't know, old school, like proud. You know what I mean?
I would say it's more old Portland, as people say. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so Southwest, like where I'm from, like it hasn't been around a long time, and mm-hmm. it's not like it has like a culture or anything. I mean, it's very nice. I love it, but it's like, I love my area. But up here, I get a sense of like culture.
Sure.
And I don't necessarily get where I'm from. So I'm giving you a shout out.
Thank you. That's kind of you, Brooke. Yeah. I mean, you know, we got the Mike's Drive-In. So, you know, you got the self-serve culture.
We got a Mike's Drive-In in Southwest now.
Well, right. Exactly. We got the Little Caesars on the other direction. So, you know, we've got... Italian culture.
Italian culture.
Yeah, you know, so it,
Little Caesar's Italian culture.
Hey, well, you know, it is the Caesar, you know.
It's no, it's true.
A2 crazy puffs.
By the way, I would like to say one thing. Casey did not go on our last road trip to Sacramento, mm-hmm. which upset me because I depend on him always and want him around always. But I will say that he was there in spirit, and I appreciated when you sent me that text after my last, the final interview, post-game interview with Kate or with Casey, with Chauncey, when I said, thank you, you know, for being so candid, because he was very candid with us all year long. And there are times, guys, where it's literally only Casey and I in the post-game press conference. And so this last one was just me.
Just broke it.
So
thank you for that.
By the way, I spoke for you. I hope that's okay.
I know. I thought it was very kind that you even mentioned it, Chauncey. You're like, hey, we really appreciate your candor this year. And you're like, mm-hmm. I know if Casey was here too, he would say the same thing. And I was like, oh, thanks, Brooke.
Okay, good. I'm glad I spoke for you, and I assumed that you would be okay with it.
Yes, I would. Well, and I should state as well, too, that the only place I've ever lived other than Oregon, save for the few months of the beginning of my life where I lived in Alaska, was in a suburb of Sacramento, Rancho Cordova. So, you know, I have a bit of history in the Sacramento area as well. So
I didn't know you lived in Alaska.
Well, I was born in Alaska. My dad was in the Air Force.
Oh, interesting.
So Fairbanks, Alaska. I was born on an
Air Force base. I'm learning so many things.
Yeah. So, our last show, first show, yeah, there's still a lot to know. Were you born in Washington?
I was born in Seattle.
Seattle. Okay. So, yeah.
I mean, ironically, I was born at the University of Washington Hospital.
Yeah. There was something you sent me the other day where... Now I remember what it was. It's not actually a good story. It was someone... I'd asked someone for a recommendation because they were getting some work done on their house. Oh. And I was like, who'd you go through? And they told me, and I went to their website, and it said they were a UW alumni. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah. No.
That's... Sure.
That's so funny. That reminds me of a story. So two games ago, it was our last game. It was our last home game. So not Sacramento, but our last fan appreciation night. And I was doing this. People that watch the game at home, you'll understand because you saw me. We never do this, but I was walking down the corridor or the concourse. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because we were planning it. We've never done it. And we're like, let's do a walk, like a walk toss through the concourse. And Randy, you guys, if you watch a lot, you know Randy is our everything. I love Randy. I can't even give him a title. But Randy was like, that's a bad idea. Fans are going to come up to you. I was like, no, they'll see that I'm like doing, they'll see that I'm working. They'll get it. No.
I was going to say, are you nuts? No,
no
way.
I know. So like we did like five times, like I'm walking down the concourse trying to say like, thank you to the fans and throwing to sound from Chauncey and other people. And every time someone's like, Brooke. And it was so sweet. And I felt terrible because I had to stop. I'm not going to not.
Of course. Yeah.
So every time I was like, hi, I'm so sorry. I'm doing a live shot. I'll be right back. You know? And so then we'd start again. Happened again. And then the whole crew was like, we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, just one more time. So finally I did one, and I literally had to ignore everyone that was talking to me, and I hated it. But at the end when I was done, and they're like, scene, cut, done. And wasn't my best one, but like at least like no one stopped me, or I didn't stop to talk to people. Then Randy's like, this guy down here wants to talk to you. He was trying to talk to you. You ignored him. I was like, oh gosh. So I ran down. I was like, I'm so sorry I ignored you. I was doing a live shot. What's going on? I'm so sorry. He's like, I just wanted to introduce you to my son. I think it was Manuel Matisse something.
Right. Yeah. I heard you.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. He was like, yes, I went to UW and I named my son after Matisse Thybul.
Wow. Okay.
I was like,
so not after the.
No, after
painter,
Matisse
after,
Thybul.
After actual Thybul. Okay.
I was like, shut up. And he's like, yeah, no, I loved him. I'm big, you know, I go, wow, just to. In full disclosure, I'm a Washington State gal, but I really appreciate that. He's like, no, I already knew that. He's like, but if you could maybe, and he was the nicest guy. He's like, maybe let him know that I appreciated him so much, you know, when he went to UW and all he did for us and in our program that I named my son after him. I was like, I cannot wait to tell him this. And so I go down to my spot that night, you know, like where I went sideline at the end, in the tunnel at the end of the, at the bench. And Matisse hasn't been playing. So he sits, which is so Matisse. He chooses to sit with our support staff, you know, and he's right behind me, like literally right behind me. So I turn around, I was like, I have to tell you something. He's like, what? And I go, I met a guy tonight and he named his son, his middle name is Matisse after you. He's like, are you serious? I was like, I'm dead serious. I met him. I talked to him. He's like, I'm going to cry. I was like, I knew you were. And he's like, almost cried. And like, and then I almost cried. And it meant so much to him. It was like the cutest thing in the world. And we love Matisse. And that was like something that meant the world to him. And anyways.
That's great.
It took a long time to get to the end of that.
It did take a while to get there. But it was good. A couple things there, just to circle back. One, you've worked in television for what, like 20 plus years now?
Longer than that.
Longer than that? There is no... You thought after 20 plus years of working in television, you could walk through the concourse and get a shot. Like, that just goes to show how optimistic you are, Brooke.
Yeah.
Because
or like ridiculous I am.
Well, yeah, a little from column A, a little from column B.
Naive.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say naive, but you know, you're trying to you want good things to happen.
Yeah.
And the second thing I would say is Matisse is just a nice name.
It is
like
a great
it's a,
name.
It's a good name for a person. Like, you can call him, like, Matisse is, like, it feels kind of French. You can call him Matt, like, and that's, you know, you can really...
I feel like that's taking away from the cuteness.
Well, it does, but what I'm saying is that, like, you can... If you're a kid and, like, you know, you're in elementary school and, like, you know,
Matisse,
kids are jerks.
I like Matisse.
Matisse is good, too, but I'm just saying that, like, you can... It can be, like, the full name, which has a certain fluidity to it. It could be shortened to Matt or Matisse. So you have some good kind of shorthandedness
to it as
well.
There's a lot of nicknames from Matisse. Maddie, Matt, Matisse.
Exactly.
I get it.
So, like, it's a nice name. So,
oh, and you know, he's the nicest guy.
And he's a good guy, too. So
He's so interesting. Like, you know, when we talk about him, by the way, guys, if you're listening, well, obviously you're listening, but, like, when we say... He is that interesting and he's that unique and he's that kind of guy. He really is. And I've covered athletes from all sports, football, basketball, baseball. I have never met anyone exactly like Matisse. He is truly unique.
He's his own person for sure. And I feel like I really earned Matisse's respect this year. And
after
I've
the
told
peanut butter
story
and jelly.
Exactly by doing a detailed research to prove that an Uncrustable is really no worse for you than a regular.
Oh, I was going to tell you this. You were on the trip in Sacramento. Scoot was eating Uncrustable, and I went up to him and I started telling him the story. I was like, "What am I doing? This is too long of a story. Like, he's not going to understand." I was like, I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're eating Uncrustable." There's a whole thing where Casey and Matisse. I was like, "Never mind."
Yeah, no, you would have gotten to the end of that story, and he'd have been like,
"He's like, whatever."
Okay, great.
I know.
Thanks, Brooke.
I stopped myself halfway through, and I was like, "Edit, Brooke. Edit."
Oh, it's in The Office where Andy starts doing his impersonation of Mick from Rocky.
Oh,
and
no.
He's like, this guy doesn't want to murder you. He wants to kill you or whatever. And Michael stops and he's like, is this going to be worth it? And he's like, I'm about half of the way through. And he's like, it's not going to be worth it. So, yeah, like that's how I feel when I'm telling a story sometimes, too, is I'd be like,
I do it
if you want to
time.
Stop me and be like, hey, are you sure that like that this is going to be worth my time? And I'll think about it for a second and be like, you know what? Maybe it's not.
Casey, I feel like that is my whole life. And I'm sorry for all of our listeners because I do it on the podcast also. Example A, I just did it where I like had a story and I went through an entire other story to get to the story.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh,
listening.
I mean, that's your way. That's your style of storytelling.
I know, but it's bad. Sometimes I'm like, I can't even remember where I'm getting to. Like,
yeah, no,
I mean, I do that all the time.
That's just people, Brooke. I think everyone does that a little bit. And also, you didn't even mention too that Matisse was hopped on one of your reports.
Oh my
too,
gosh, that was so cute.
Yeah.
I would love to tell the story. So in Sacramento is one of the most unique situations where I'm sitting because like sometimes I'm in the front row of scorer's table. It's amazing. And sometimes I'm in weird places. And this is kind of like the most unique because I'm in the tunnel, which I'm in tunnels often, but this one, like for some reason is right in front of like the very special lounge that people like fans
yeah,
go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they come up and they, I think I've talked about this before. When people walk by and like show me their pass, I'm like, I am not the concierge. Like I you can go right in. I actually work for the other team. Like I don't even know what that pass is. So they will show me like, can I go to the lounge? I'm like, sure. Yep. Go ahead. Sometimes I'm so bored. Like I'll be like, oh, I don't know. Let me look at that again. Oh, okay. All right. You're allowed. You know, like I pretend I'm the concierge, but anyways, so Matisse, who's obviously not playing, like guys that aren't playing go like kind of back and forth from the locker room to the bench.
Snacks.
And, yeah, snacks.
Hanging out.
Yeah, stuff like
checking
that.
Checking scores.
So yeah. He happens to walk by in the first segment where Tom Haberstroh is doing his Haberstrophes. Mm-hmm. And he has a tux on, which he's never worn before because he was doing the awards. And so Matisse can't even hear what's happening. He just sees my monitor. He's like, what's he doing? I was like, oh, hi, Matisse. Like, he kind of showed up out of nowhere. I was like, he's doing these awards, like, for tonight. That's why he's wearing that. He's like, oh, well, what awards? I was like, well, he just gave Scoot one and he just gave Dwop one. He's like, well, have I won one? I'm like, well, no, you haven't yet, but you know, the night is young. It's the first quarter. Every time he walked by, he's like, have I won one yet? I'm like, not yet. So then it just happened. It was so cute. I was doing a live hit and I said, you know, open my mic and I go, guys, I have to tell you the funniest thing. Cause I was going to do two stories. I was going to do one of Matisse walking by and asking, and then I was going to do one on, Baji, who was literally commentating the game the entire time, which was so cute. Like, he was like, yeah, let's go, Tajay. Yeah. Like, he was, because he was on the bike the entire game.
Yeah. So it was, I felt like they showed him a couple times.
Yeah. Well, I told him to, because I was like, show. So, anyways, two stories were combined. So, as I'm saying, guys, I got to let you know that every time Matisse walks by, he's checking in to see if he has won an award. And at that moment, Matisse showed up right next to me. I was like, guys, he's literally right next to me. I was like, Tease, I'm sorry, man. Still haven't won one. This is the third quarter. I was like, still haven't won one. The game is not over. He's like, well, can you let me know? And I put him on, like, I gave him the mic. Like, normally we would ask PR, like, can we have an interview? Can he be available? But it was in the moment, you know, and he was so cute. And he's like, well, just let me know if I win one. I'll just keep walking by. And then he never came back. But anyways, we had him on live, which is kind of rare to have someone that was not planned in the middle of a broadcast. So I loved it. And then I told the story about Baji commentating the whole game. So it was like, honestly, one of my favorite broadcasts.
It was good. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah. And Tease and I had probably about a 2-week period where he would always come and tie his shoes. Francis, Francis is like
fine.
Trying
she's
to
fine.
Harass.
It's
right
a she,
now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fine. We're cuddling.
Yeah. No, she's, I mean, she just wants pets. Yeah, exactly.
No,
which is why
her.
She's doing that thing where she puts her head under your hand and is like, hey,
no,
get to work here.
I'm here to give the cuddles.
Yeah. Smell your hand after you pet
no,
her.
No, I'd rather
way,
not
yeah,
do
no,
that.
That's a hound thing, too. It's a musk.
Oh, gross, Casey. Why did you say that?
Well, because, I mean, you're maybe going to wonder why your hand smells kind of weird here in a minute.
I assume it was the dog.
Well, right.
Before I eat my Crazy Puffs.
Yeah. Well, and also, so she's a hound, and that's actually part of the breed, is that it helps them, like, capture scents, which is why she smells kind of weird.
Well, it's not her fault.
No, of course not.
It's not your fault, girl. It's not your fault.
Long story short, what I was trying to say is that Matisse would come over and tie his shoes on the scores table when I was doing my radio hit, and he would sometimes – I would pitch him a few questions and he would answer them. So Matisse has profile on both the TV and the radio broadcast this year. So
no, he's great.
Nice work, Matisse.
And I think I said this like 4 or 5 podcasts ago that, you know, my nickname for him – do you remember? Socks McGee.
I wouldn't have.
The man never wears shoes. So that when you just said he tied his shoes, it's because it was the last second that he had
That's
to
true.
Put his shoes
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Because he hates shoes.
Man,
I've never met a man that hates
squeezing
shoes.
His
more.
Foot into those vans
no,
and
he just,
then
yeah.
destroying them.
And the vans also, I noticed last home game, he cuts the side of the vans so that he has more
oh,
room.
Oh, does he cut them? I just assumed that like that was from wear and tear, but no, cutting them. Okay.
Oh, no, it's very clear. He's cut. I mean, I think he's cut them. So it's like he buys a nice pair of Vans and then cuts the sides so he has more room in the shoe for his foot because he hates shoes.
Well, there you go. See, that is the kind of stuff that you only get on the Blazers Balcony. And since you are listening to the Blazers Balcony, episode 121, the Blazers season is over. Portland Trail Blazers finished the year 21-61, which is, I believe, that's last in the Western Conference and tied for third worst in the league, which means that the Blazers get a cut of the best odds going into the NBA's draft lottery, which is the good news about losing that many games. But otherwise, you know, a bit of a... I won't say a disappointing season. I think a lot of us kind of expected it. But, you know, in exit interviews, too, there was a lot of talk about, like, well, what did you guys accomplish this year? What do you feel like you learned this year? And, you know, you had injuries. So did you really feel like you got a good sense of kind of what you have going forward? And, you know, that I feel like that was a lot of the discussion at exit interviews was, what are some of the things that we can derive out of this in which we can feel good about it. 21-20 Lakers you. Up.
I was
on
trying
the
to use my good LASIK eye to see
yeah,
the score.
Yeah, you're good. We're Havsy watching the play-in game as well between the Los Angeles Lakers.
Go Larry
and
Nance
our,
Jr.
Our good friend CJ McCollum and Larry Nance Jr.
Oh, did you see that CJ got in a little tiff?
Yeah. With a well, yeah. I mean, there's a long lineage of Trailblazers or former Trailblazers getting into it with Klay Thompson, and also too. I guess didn't Larry Nance like push Anthony Davis?
He was involved in it.
Yeah.
I kind of loved it.
Well, and I know I feel like the Lakers more than any other team pulled the like that was a dirty play kind of thing. It's
the
like
Lakers,
man, stuff happens.
The Lakers live in their own dreamland. I'm telling you, they live in their own dreamland where they call the shots. It's the sorry, no, I don't want to go on with it.
You're not wrong, Brooke, and you're really speaking to our audience right now too.
Well, it's true.
Yeah,
it just drives me crazy. But also, CJ and his trash talk, I've always appreciated.
Yeah, he's been a real
and Klay Thompson. I mean, no one will ever forget Klay and our boy.
Yeah. Zach Collins.
My boy. Yeah. I love him so much.
I feel like Klay goes so fast to the I've got rings argument. You want a lot of them, so I get it. But I feel like he just goes there too quick. Like, I think you gotta let it ride for a second first.
He said to, from what I heard or what I read in his lips, that like, I've owned you, CJ, for 10
I believe
years.
It is something that I've been busting your ass for
yeah,
10
yeah,
years
yeah,
or
yeah.
to that effect.
And
yeah.
Well, yeah, but you also have a couple other guys on your team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like you're leading this squad. I love guys. Klay Thompson went to Washington State. I'm a stan.
And a Lake Oswego resident, too. Yeah, no, Klay Thompson's always been one of my favorite non-Blazers.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Casey. He's my favorite non-Blazer. Always has been. Or over the years, has been my favorite non-Blazer. But when Zach Collins did that, I was like, you're a god.
I think Klay Thompson appreciated it too.
I think
like,
you too.
The response was,
I think you too.
Like if you watch the video, you see the response. His response is like, "All right,
he's
yeah,
like,
okay,
yeah, you got me."
Yeah,
yeah. That was epic. But the CJ stuff, like, I love that CJ's even involved in stuff like that because he can talk that smack.
Yeah,
and he will back it up. And so, like, I'm here for it. I love it.
CJ is definitely one of those guys, too, where it's like he definitely plays better angry than he does otherwise. So,
you know what's so funny? When I watched – I know he was the post-game interview, and it took me back to when I would interview him post-game. And he doesn't give you a lot. You know, he's kind of keeps it close to the vest. And I think that's just his personality. But, like, it was so funny. Like, everything he said to their reporter – which is Jen Hale, who's one of my best
buds.
Babies.
Yeah.
She's my girlfriend. And I was like, I feel like I'm interviewing him right now. Like he said the same things. He's like, you know, I just go out and do it. You know, CJ is his own guy. Like there's Dame, where Dame will give you like, take you through like the entire game, like the entire play. CJ keeps it closer to his.
And CJ himself. Does that thing where he's like, you know, the hard hedges and he's got a
trust
script
me,
that he rattles
I know.
Off of. Yeah, no, I'm not.
No, I remember like going, CJ, you said that last time. Like, give me something new. He just like it's you know, post game interviews are not his thing.
Yeah.
Dame, they were. CJ Moore is like, what can I say to get this over with? And that's fine. It's fine.
Which he was always a good he was very good in the locker room. I feel like the post game sometimes it's like it's way different.
Way
one,
different.
They just got done with it. Two, like they know they have to get back in the locker room because like they're always waiting for him, and it's like, where are you at? Why aren't you in the locker room? Coach wants to address the team, and so you know there's
even though
that
CJ
as well.
Would always shower last.
Oh yeah, CJ was always one of the last guys though. In Portland's locker room now, he would probably be one of the quickest guys too. The Blazers locker room 2023-24, the slowest dressing Blazer team that I have ever been associated with.
That is very true.
I mean, they're all young too, so maybe there's a higher standard for
or
like
maybe they
what,
don't even know
what constitutes a shower for. Yeah, I mean, it could be that too.
I mean, they don't even know. Like, well, but I will say I will appreciate and give credit to like Scoot, who will do it before he showers.
Yeah, and a lot of times too, if you catch a guy, a lot of the guys are like, hey, can we go?
Like,
and like sometimes, and a lot of guys typically don't want to do post game. On camera, if they haven't showered yet, or if they're in a state of undress,
correct.
Like so that
which I understand.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was cute. Like I think it was like 7 or 8 games ago. You and I were it was part of our 15-day road trip, and Rasan, who was ahead of our PR, was like, Scoot, do you want to do it now or do you want to do it after? He's like, well, can I do it now without a shirt? He's like, yeah, it's up to you. He's like, without a shirt? You're like, fine. So like, it comes down, like, this is the thing. These are the things that we are dealing with. Like, he's like, can I do it without a shirt? And I'm like, please just do it without a shirt. Like, it's so silly. But like, he said, I'll do it, but do I have to put a shirt on? No, you don't. Okay. And then I'll do it. And then we did the, you know, post game interview without a shirt, which is fine. No one cares, but it's like so funny that we're having these conversations.
Well, sometime on the last three home games, I don't remember which one it was, but I think maybe it was Scooter, maybe it was Tumani. It could have been two because he's been out because of the injury. But one of the guys, we wanted to interview him before he dressed or before he showered. And he must have been wearing a shirt, but maybe like he hadn't put on shorts yet. And like Sam was even like, yeah, just shoot him from like the waist up. Like just don't. You know, don't go full body. So, right. So yeah, you know, it's a good team too. That's one of the easiest things about covering the team this year was how good the guys in the locker room are to work with.
Oh, they're
like,
wonderful.
There's none of the guys who are like a pain in the ass or really kind of like give you kind of like you have to like fight with in order to talk to. Like they're all very accommodating when it comes to that.
Question
kind of
to you, and you don't really have to answer it if you don't want to, but I came, so this is my ninth season. Casey has been with the team longer. So I went through the era of Dame, CJ, Nurk, all that, and they were wonderful, obviously, and that and everyone that was involved in that era. And now it's a new era, and I agree with Casey that everyone's so wonderful to work with, and they don't give us any problems. Did you ever have problems before that with talking to people?
I wouldn't say problems, but some guys are a little more difficult to deal with than others. Like I'll mention one guy, and it's not like he was hard to deal with, but like. Robin Lopez was Rolo post game interview, like not his wave. Like he I don't know if he was uncomfortable with it or like he was always a guy where it was like he didn't really want to do it. And when you would ask him stuff, he'd always kind of get a little frustrated. Like, so So like, I'm not even saying like difficult to work with, but just like some guys, you know, they just don't. It's more of a bother for them than other guys. And part of it is because they've been around for a while. So they also know like, hey, I've been doing this for a long time. I know that 95% of the stuff you guys ask me, you're probably not even going to use. So like, do I really have to sit here and explain things to you? And I always felt like that was Robin's thing. He was like, I don't want to explain to you the stuff that you guys just got done watching. Like, can't you just do that on your own?
Those boys are very deep thinkers. Family. Like, I can see where they're coming from Stanford. They're like, if I don't have to do this, I don't want to do this.
I think, too, maybe there's a part of that is when you have a lot of interest outside of basketball like they do, they're like, I don't want to talk about basketball. So if you talk to Robin about The Simpsons postgame,
cartoons,
like, great.
He and I are very different on our cartoons.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Robin would definitely not appreciate your stance when it comes to cartoons, Brooke. But if you're asking about the game, it's like that was always something that it always just felt like was a little like, Do we really have to do this? So, and that's what I'm saying. Is that there hasn't been a guy who was like hard to work with for me since maybe like Darius Miles, and that
that's a long time.
I mean, that was a long time ago, and I just remember like I sat down with him once, and then like he was like not having it, and you know I was young at the time too, so I maybe don't blame him so much. But overall,
we have not had a lot of guys that have been difficult.
No, we have not, and again, I think particularly because. Our guys are young on this team too. I think that they don't know yet that, you know, they could be jerks if they wanted to.
Let's not put it out there in the universe. It was the other day when it was, we asked for Scoot and I was talking to Rasan. I'm like, what time will Scoot be? He's like, well, it'll either be before or after. And he's like, but you know, he's no problem. He's easy. Cause kind of to your point, like he doesn't, and let's not, again, not put this out there that you can say no to interviews with media. Yeah. Let's not do that. But he is just so like, he's just there. He's like, oh yeah, whatever you need. Yeah. And he's a great interview and he's so good. And you know, people on the road, for some reason, I would say the number one question asked to me with fans on the road, like people come up and be like, bro, look, I'm like, what's up? He's like, they're like, how's Scoot? I was like, he's wonderful. Is he really that great? Like, is he as good as like he seems? I'm like, Yes, he's great. Yeah. He's an old soul. He cares so much. And I guess I just, not my point, I'm kind of circling around, but the number one question I get from fans of the team that live in different cities that come up and talk to me is Scoot, how is Scoot? I'm like, he's wonderful. He is truly a great human and cares so much. Like, maybe, like, I don't know if I have come across a player in any sport team I've covered that cares more about his performance and the team than Scoot. And,
yeah.
And that's a saying a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always just appreciate, too, that Scoot always gives you a fist bump.
Always.
Like, I think I've mentioned that before on the podcast, that, like, it's nice when you get acknowledged as, like, a person rather than an annoyance. And Scoot always, like, goes out of his way to be like, hey, Casey, what's going on?
By the way, also, Ashton Higgins, huge fist bumper. And then also, I would like to give a shout out to Tajay, who came in and gave the dunk of the year.
Yeah, that was great.
That was crazy. I was looking down. I was like, I think it was around the time that Matisse was talking to me in my little nook. And I was looking down, and then it was Shanks, who's head of our security, was like, was that good of a dunk? I was like, I don't know. I was talking to Matisse. I missed it. I totally missed it because we were talking. And then obviously we were waiting for like a replay, and it came up. I was like, oh my gosh. Like the whole entire arena in Sacramento was like, dang.
Yeah.
And then there was an amazing shot of the bench, Sacramento bench. And there's a guy, who knows who he is, sitting down at the end, like not even worthy of a chair. He's like sitting on the ground. Not to say that he's not worthy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how it goes sometimes.
And he was like, dang, like his body, like it was like out of like Morpheus, you know, like what's the movie I'm talking about with Keanu Reeves?
Oh, the Matrix.
Matrix.
Yeah.
He like had a Matrix move where he was like, whoa. And like, anyways, it was amazing. And that was a great dunk. And
that was a great dunk. I mean, and I think you got a good point. But I also just want to give a shout out too. And since you asked about it on the broadcast, which I also thought was great, Brooke, was a Scoot's dunk as well in the last game of the season.
Yes, like, yes.
And I thought it was awesome that Chauncey was like, yeah, I've been kind of busting his chops about not dunking. So the fact that he went out and did it, like I was like, can he even dunk? And so the fact that he got one at the last game of the season, at least at home, was nice.
It was funny because I wasn't planning on asking him that, but I always tell young people that want to get into broadcasting, the best questions are reactions to answers.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, talked about Scoot's game, like it was definitely his best game of the year. I had a tough time saying arguably, which I always do. You know,
sometimes I know, because like, so when I'm recording the other podcasts that I do that we don't talk about,
I don't know,
like
what you speak
there,
of.
There will be times where like I'm trying to like say a phrase, and yeah, it's just like
every time,
like it literally, like I try it like three times. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write something else because like I can't.
And I should
say
have.
It.
I was going to say, you know what? And so stupid, because I was going to be like, last game, Scoot, that was Scoot's best game of the year, which is true. But I like, well, maybe some people think he had a better game, another game. So I'm like, you got to say arguably. And then in my head, I'm like, you got to say arguably. And then I get there, I'm like, I've never in my life said it correctly on air. I say it in life all the time, but whenever I say it on air, I stumble. Arguably. And I knew it. As soon as I said it, I was like, dang it, Brooke, why didn't you just say the best game of the year? Because it was Scoot's best game of the year. Like, I'm just like thinking, what if like two or three people think he had like game five was his best game? You know, that's so stupid. So anyways, I said it and I stumbled over it, which I always do. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. But yes, yeah, Scoot's and then I followed up with the dunk, and I was just kind of being funny, and I was like, did you teach him that, Chauncey? And he's like, no, he came in with that, but I've been, as you said, asking him to do more of it. Like, I haven't seen that from you. And so I think that's like the next step of his game, where obviously he's working on his three pointer. Mm-hmm. He's working on his shot, but dunk more. Like, that dunk was amazing.
Yeah. His, I would say at this point, his finishing at the rim is probably needs to be worked on more than his 3-point shot. Like, I feel like the three has come around a bit. I mean, you know,
it's getting there.
It's still a work in progress, but like, it is getting there. But like, I say that more because the way that he plays, I think it would benefit him more if he was better finishing at the rim.
Yes.
Than it would if he was just a better 3-point shooter. Now, granted, like one of those, if he was a better 3-point shooter, that opens up more stuff for you at the rim.
Right.
So like, as his game progresses, he's going to be able to merge both of those things at some point in time. But as of right now, you're right. Like, sometimes it's the three. And I mean, late in the game, he went like 6 of 7 from three in one of those last games.
Yeah, he was 6 of 6 at one point.
Exactly. Up to and including a half-court heave, too.
And by the way, that was not only a heave. He turned around and, like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, and we've watched Damian Lillard for years. this man turned around and realized, like, okay, I have to shoot it right now or it's not going to, you know, it's timing thing. But he turned around and just heaved it with all of his might. I swear, it was like it was like a ballet move. Like, he turned around and shot it, like, in the middle of turning. Like, that's that's not normal. To me, his dunk, and I think that dunk was probably my favorite play of the year. And that's not even, like, counting in, like, Shaden's and Tumani's earlier that we talk about all the time. But the three-pointer.
Oh, boy, I forgot about that.
Oh, it was in the same, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, Utah, yeah.
That was great. But that three-pointer was something else.
Yeah, and that was a nice game for Scoot. And Brooke, I would say, too, that when you're talking about a performance, like, you don't have to say arguably, because I feel like it already goes without saying that you're giving your opinion about something. And, yeah, like, you don't have to qualify.
Well, I thought that was Scoot's best game of the year. Well, some people might not.
Right, but so there is no correct answer. So, like, it's not like you can point to a game and be like, that's his best game.
And I couldn't
I think we could each have an opinion about what his best game is, but, like, there's not a metric that's like, technically, sir, this is your best game. I'm trying to give you grace, Brooke, because, you don't have to, like, qualify everything. It's like if people don't understand that you're giving your opinion about it, and it's not like, well, technically, this document that's certified
plus minus
says that it was actually this game, like, no, the...
But Casey, I could have easily said Scoot coming off an amazing game. I could have just kept it simple.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I think it was his best game, but maybe some people didn't. So I'm going to say arguably. And then I get to it. I'm like, Scoot coming off.
Can you change this to Central America?
So
I can't
hard.
Say Nicaragua.
It's so hard. Oh, what's the score of the game, by the way?
Score of the game right now. Oh, we turned and it's Darvin Ham getting interviewed. It is New Orleans 34, Pelicans 26 early in the second quarter, Brooke.
You just said the same team.
Oh, did I? Sorry. New Orleans 34, Lakers 26.
Oh, let's go New Orleans.
Yeah.
No, let's go Pels.
Yeah. Which, I saw Greenberg was like, they should lose this game to get a better matchup. And it's like, dude, no. There's too much talking.
Gosh, like, too much.
After I just said that your opinions are valid, there's too many opinions.
By the way, though, can I change the subject?
Yes, the answer is yes.
The WNBA draft yesterday was so awesome. It was so great. I loved every second of it. I had a massage, which I have one for you, Case.
Oh, thank
I promised
you. Yes,
Casey
right.
a
yeah,
massage.
Yeah. Brooke gets comp massages, by the way.
No, I don't. No, Casey, that's not true.
I
pay for them, but I just don't ever go.
Do I need to take that out?
Yeah. No, you don't take it out. No, I don't go. So I have 17 massages. I paid for them, but I'm a member. I just had to quit my membership or postpone my membership because I never go because we're always traveling.
Yeah, you're working.
So I have 17 massages waiting for me, and I told Casey I'd give him one.
Thank you, Brooke.
Which I will. And so I got my first one yesterday, so I have 16 left. One for you, buddy.
Just knocking them out.
Well, oh god, Alex. Alex changed my life yesterday. It was great. So anyways, but I told Alex, I was like, do your best, but, like, be a little speedy, because I'd like to get back to see Caitlin Clark get the number one pick. And he was like, who? I was like, don't worry about it. He had no idea. He was like,
he didn't know, really?
No.
Wow, okay.
No, but right. he gave me a little tie, like, in the middle of it. He's like, I'm going to do a tie massage sequence. I'm like, whatever, do what you will. And it was great. So he's very into, like, the Zen stuff. I don't think he cares about sports. So anyways, I raced home, and right before I pulled in my driveway, I got the Bleacher Report update, Caitlin Clark, number one. It was fine. I missed it, but it's fine. And I ran in and I watched her. I did get to see her speech not really a speech, but, like, her interview.
Yeah.
And then I watched the rest of it, and that's all I cared about. And it was so great. It was just, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to be all sappy, but women's sport, like,
it's having a moment. It's great.
I've played sports my whole life. It's taught, and I've said this on the podcast, I believe, it's taught me more than any class I ever took in school. My coach, Linda Sheridan, who coached me both in both sports, basketball and volleyball, and she started Title IX. She passed away from an illness, and the entire, like, we all should. It was, anyway, she's amazing. She taught me more than any teacher I ever had, ever. And so sports mean something deep to me. And to see women's sports shown like this, and watching little boys like ask for Caitlin Clark's autograph, you know, it's big to me. It's big to me. And I'm trying to teach my son that too. Yeah. And he even said, you know, he's funny. We don't need to go down that road, but he doesn't get it yet. He will. I will push it. He will get it. But, just watching that whole thing, it was so inspiring. And watching women like, Cardoso, I never say her name right. Cardoso.
Yeah.
From Brazil, mm-hmm. whose family, she left her family at like an early age.
A lot of kids, or a lot of high level athletes from around the country, they end up doing that. And that's a tough thing to do.
I can't imagine.
It's a little bit different, but our good friend Tamani Kamara, like,
exactly.
You leave home when you're like 14 years old. Like, I remember what I was like as a freshman in high school. Like,
I would have.
I'd have been dead in a week. Like,
100%. I'd be like, take me home. I don't miss my mommy. I would have been the exact way. And they go there and they're like, their goal is to make a better life for their family.
Yeah.
And she said that in her speech with Holly Rowe. And it was so inspiring to me. She's like, the goal was, I didn't want to leave my family, but I knew that if I could work hard enough and get to this space, I could take care of my family. And it was just so inspiring. And just watching all of it. And also, I would like to add, I don't know if you guys have watched, but if you can, YouTube, Caitlin Clark on SNL. It was priceless.
That, and Brooke being a huge comedy fan,
huge.
People have talked about last week's episode of Saturday Night Live as like one of the best ones.
It was. It was
so
fantastic.
Did you know, too, that so they had to cut the Papyrus 2 skit with Ryan Gosling because they ran long, so you can go
Avatar one.
You can go online to watch.
I already did.
Oh, the second
it.
Of the
yes,
okay, good. I just want to make sure
it.
You knew that it was.
You
out
have
there,
no
so.
Idea, Casey. I am totally obsessed. I've already watched it, and it was so good. It was so good. I've told you, and I've talked about this on the podcast. Comedy to me is the hardest job in the world, and I appreciate it more than anything. And so, when I can't, I watch SNL every night, unless we're working or something, and then I watch it the next day. But it's my favorite show. People say, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. Yeah, I get it. I mean, back in the day, yeah, you go to Eddie Murphy.
What
sure.
is anymore? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But like, it's a different genre. It's a different product than it was back in the day when you loved it. I get it. But you still need to appreciate it.
I appreciated it too, because, for years and years and years. It doesn't happen as much anymore now that I have less hair, I think. But people always said I looked like Beavis. And so, like...
No, why did you tell me that? Now I'm going to think that all the
Well,
time.
I know, and I don't want to even admit it to our listeners,
the Beavis
too,
one was so funny.
It was great. And yeah, so like, I was like, yeah, so me and Ron Gosling both look alike. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
He was Beavis. But the butthead was the funnier one.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the entire premise. It's just a good premise, too. Like
what's the gal's name? I should know this because I'm a aficionado.
You're the fan.
The gal's name who was like the host of it, who I love. She's like actually my favorite.
Right? Yeah, I know.
I was dying when she turned around, like just to like look at him. She
couldn't do it. She broke. Yeah,
she broke.
Yeah,
and I was like that. When people break on SNL, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. And so when we're on the plane, case like on the way back or to somewhere, whatever. I used to do Candy Crush. That was my go-to. And now it's people breaking on SNL. It's the funniest thing in the world. And also people breaking on The Office and Parks and Rec,
sure,
Community,
yeah.
Whatever. Like it's just people breaking in comedy sketch shows. And it's so great. It is the funniest thing. And sometimes I'll be sitting next to someone, so I don't have and I forget my headphones or something. I don't even have audio. All I have to do is watch them break. And it gives me so much joy. It makes me laugh so hard. And when she started laughing and looking at Butthead, mm-hmm. that might have been the happiest time of my whole week. Your dog, it does smell
yeah,
really bad.
No, that, well, that's the other side, I think. Yeah, no, that's
is it my hands or is it her?
No, that's her. That's
oh, my hands don't smell great either.
She's cutting loose a little bit there.
Oh, jeez. Come on, girl.
Treats, maybe. Yeah, no. Francis, what's the deal?
Francis
oh,
is
boy,
giving
geez,
out
yeah,
the
a,
heat.
Oh, God.
It's really bad.
Yeah. All right. And I closed the windows too because I was like, it's a little chilly. Like even though it's sunny outside, it was a little breezy.
Oh man.
And yeah, now it's not great.
I'm choking on her smell.
Thank you, Francis. You're a good dog.
Oh my God.
So
where do we go from here?
So let's we're well off script here, but to get it back a little bit to Blazer stuff, I thought, you know, rather than recapping the season, which is not necessary at this point. I just thought maybe we could give kind of our best or maybe our one of our favorite moments and then maybe a not so favorite moment.
Why would we give our not so favorite moment?
Well, because I wanted to make a joke about.
Oh, you wanted to make fun of me? You,
well, no.
Oh, I got my. Oh, no, no. I'm good. Okay. I got mine.
I wonder if it. I wonder
you
if
know
it matches.
What it is.
I bet I do. So, so let's go ahead and start with that then. Let's start with what was the worst part of the Trailblazers 2023-24 season, Brooke?
Well, it's worse for Casey. It was best for Brooke. So Casey and I often, as I mentioned earlier, in the post game press conferences with Chauncey.
This is not what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really? I can't wait to hear what you thought it was. It's just us two and maybe some other like local media and stuff, but normally it's just us two. And the last one Casey was at, was it Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It was so funny. I wish I asked for footage. No one sent it to me.
Go ahead. You can hear it if you watch the video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, so we're in the row. So there's like a front row and it's like chair, 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 chair. And I'm on the far left. Casey's on like the third to the right. And Casey always puts his phone, right,
mm-hmm.
on the table to get audio. So the chairs were always... 99% of the chairs were down and they stayed that way. Casey happened to sit in the one that flipped up when he stood up, but he didn't realize that.
Oh, Casey goes down.
Casey, right
into
right?
the trip.
You all right?
Thank you. Yeah.
As long as you're all right. As long as you're all right.
So when he got up to put his phone down on the table, he goes back to sit down, and the seat had flipped up. And as he starts going to sit down, I see it. I'm like, no. And I literally, you saw me. I physically reached for you. Not that I could do anything, but I physically reached for. I was like, Casey, no! And he falls on the ground, hits his head on the chair. The chair falls down, and he's like, "Oh God!" You know, I'm like, "Oh my God!" And I was trying not to laugh, but of course I was laughing. And then Chauncey was like, "Casey, are you okay?" Like he was super like business about it. I was dying laughing. Chauncey was like, Casey, are you okay? I'm like, oh my God. I was dying. And so Casey gets up after he falls literally on the floor, head hits the chair on the ground, stands up, and he pulls the seat down. He's like, this is the only one that does that. Yeah. The only one that does that. And it was the most Casey thing in the world. And it's maybe my favorite memory.
I believe I yelled. I was like, I'll sue.
Yeah, you did.
At first, I was trying to play it cool. And then I was like, no. This is Bush League. Like, you guys put this one chair here. It's like, whoopee cushion, but with it just moving out of the way. So yeah,
I feel so bad, but at the same time, like it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's funny. And yeah, I actually, so when I was writing my story and I'm listening to it and yeah, like, and actually I got a text from Dan Morang who was like, did you just fall down in the post game press conference? I didn't respond back to him. And then at the game, he was like, hey, did you? And I was like, yes, I did. Like, I didn't want to talk about it at the time, but yes, no, you heard correctly. So there you go.
It was great.
Well, and so that's good because so I guess, was that your best or your worst?
Well, it was my worst, but best.
Well, right. Exactly. So the one I was going to say, and I'm glad that we're kind of both talking about each other here, I guess, was when we went and got massages in New York. And you know we're there in the massage place, and you know we're Brooke's on one side of the room, I'm on the other side of the room, and you know they're working on us, and you know the guy's working on Brooke, and turns out that he's he's like starts kind of breathing heavy, and then starts like sweating on Brooke, and come to find out. That, you know, while Brooke is getting massages, guys, like beads
terrible.
Of sweat are falling down on Brooke.
It was like it was raining. It was like it was raining.
Which, you know, on one hand, Brooke being a massage aficionado would know too that like you're not probably supposed to get sweated on by some dude who is, giving you the rub down.
It was
down,
the worst.
So.
Not to mention that was the same day, was it not, that we, oh wait, no, it was a totally different day. Sorry. When we went and got our ears cleaned out in San Francisco.
Well, no, so that was in New York, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it the same day?
That, Did we go to?
It was. I believe it was the same day.
It had to have been the same day.
And yeah. I was not planning on that, but you were dead set on doing
yeah.
it. And so we got our ears cleaned out, and I have never had that.
Well, and I
got
to be honest, too. I was hoping for more, like, I wanted to see, like, gobs of wax.
Yeah.
Both Brooke and I have fairly clear ears, I guess.
Just so you guys know. Yeah. Inside info.
It's called
very clean ears.
Ear picking is, I believe, what it
was. But it took forever. And
it took a lot longer than I thought it would, yeah.
It took a long time, and there was not a lot of result.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And then that, like, blow in your ear, like, on the, like, I don't know. In my head, like, there was a lot of things going on, because I went first, and then so when I saw you were doing it, I was like, oh, all the things that I thought were happening weren't actually happening.
No, it was, I don't think we'll ever do that again.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that one.
I'm good, too. And then I sent pictures to people, they're like, why would you do that? I was like, Casey told me I should do that.
Well, I've had friends who've gone to Asia and gotten, like, haircuts, and they do it when they do your haircut, and, I mean, it was also a salon, too, so I guess that's why.
Oh, like, but you get a haircut, I've heard it's
a little quicker, too, yeah, not like a full-on, like, sit down for a while.
And that place was crazy. It was very unkempt. Unkempt?
Like, yeah, it was very messy. Yeah, it was a bit messy.
Yeah, it was, and then everyone was, like, yelling at each other. I don't know, it was weird. Like, that place was very... I didn't like that place.
Yeah.
But the massage place was funny. And yeah, I wanted to quit at like halfway through, but I didn't know how to tell them, like, please stop sweating on me.
Yeah.
And then we left, and then we went and got seafood. Did we not? And I went to the wrong place.
No. Yeah.
We were going to meet someone.
Oh yeah. But I think that was a different, yeah. We were going to meet Kevin.
Calavera.
Yeah. But we went to
the wrong place.
Yeah. There's like PJ O'Rourke's or something.
Yeah. There
like
was
that.
PJ something.
Yeah. There's multiple of them.
Yeah. And so Casey and I just went to, like, we were so excited. We're like, oh, we're here in the back. And he's like, I'm here too. I'm like,
yeah.
And then we realized we went to the wrong place. And we still had great seafood.
And you ate like your weight in oysters. And,
I did. Yeah. I love oysters. If I could live on oysters, I would.
I guess you might be able to.
Like, I mean, I think you need like fruit in your life, but and veggies. Yeah,
but I think you need only fruit so you don't get scurvy. But I think that oysters would maybe provide that for you because they're from the.
I'll do some research, but I'm pretty sure you need more. You cannot survive on just oysters alone.
Yeah, no, I would imagine that. Well, and that would probably. You might be able to live. It wouldn't be a good life, though.
Yeah. So. I mean, you feel fancy, but you wouldn't be healthy.
Well, now that we've talked about the things that we didn't like this season, by the way, Brooke, Lakers are now up by 5 with 4 minutes to play in the first half.
Gross.
Maybe a positive, one of your favorite moments from this season.
Well, I mean, I've already said it, so I'm sorry I'm repeating, but the Dame game was my favorite memory of the year.
I mean, that would have been mine too. Like
but for many reasons.
Yeah.
I had a great interview with him. And what's funny, like a little inside info. So normally, just to take our fans through like the back hallways of things, normally you would reach out to the other team's PR staff, right? And I'm just telling you what happened. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Dame is a close friend, and as he is with Casey. And I reached out to his manager. I don't know. What's Mary?
Agent.
Yeah. His agent. Okay. Mare Bear, who I like to call her Mare Bear. And I called her because I wanted to get this set. Like I would die if I didn't have this interview this day. So obviously I go through our PR staff, but it's not really their job.
Not their person. Yeah.
So I reach out and I'm trying to do all these things like the right, correct way. But then I'm finally like, screw it. I'm just going to do it myself. You know? So I reach out to Dame. I was like, are you good with an interview tomorrow? He's like, sure, no problem. But I'm like, well, I still feel like I need to like have it. So I call Mary Bear, and she answers. I was like, Mary, I have to get the Dame interview tomorrow. I have to. It's like a non-negotiable. She's like, okay, hold on. Dame, are you cool with doing an interview tomorrow? He's like, okay, she's at his house. She's in his living room. He's like, with Brooke? And he's like, yeah, no problem. She's like, he said, yeah. I was like, cool. So the next day, you know, he's warming up and then, hi, buddy. And he comes, sorry, that was to Casey's dog. And then he's shooting and he starts walking to the bench and I look at him. He's like, oh, sorry, I forgot. Like he kind of forgot. And then he comes over and sits down. And this is the one time And people ask me all the time, they're like, do you ever get like nervous when like you're doing interviews and like there's cameras on you? I was like, no, I don't. I've never noticed them. Like, it's not a big deal. I sit down underneath the basket with Dame and I happen to look around. There's Bruce. And then there's like, I've said this before, 50, if not more, people with their phones taking videos of us and pictures of us. I was like, dang. Like, I mean, I get it. I understand. But like, I still didn't get nervous, but I was like, I've never seen that before. Anyway, so we did our interview and it was awesome. It was just great. And he was so him. And then the game happens and then his protege, Anfernee, hits the game winner.
It's the winner, yeah.
And then we do the post-game interview and it was the best post-game interview of the entire year. I say this again, you could not script it better. Dame got his flowers. Anfernee, his protege, hit the game winner and gets the walk-off interview. Was amazing in it. It was just like, I couldn't have planned it better.
That was really good too. And yeah, and they had shoot around, obviously the Bucks did, and they let everyone know, like, hey, Dame is talking before the game. He's not talking to shoot around. But I just wanted to go to say hello anyways.
Oh,
and
yeah, like, he's your boy.
And so I drove down, and usually I don't go to opposing team shoot around, but you know, special occasion.
Casey and Dame and I are a trio of friendship. We have been this way for years. I don't know if people understand that. No, honestly, I don't know if people understand that. Like, you and me and Dame are truly best friends.
Yeah, we've got a good little friend set. Yeah, right.
He trusts us. Like, it's always been like that. It will always be like that.
So the story is that they were telling everyone, like, hey, we're not doing interviews at shoot around. And as they're walking off, the Bucks PR guy's like, Casey, come on, come back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, great. And yeah, so then we like 15 minutes or 20 minutes at that point. So,
oh, wow.
Which was great. Yeah, but there was, you know, there was some, actually, you know what? Since you took that one, I'm going to take those dunks in Utah as my,
that would be my second. That would be my second.
This season. Like, those were, We got to refloat those back up, actually. Like, that might be worth a... Maybe I'll just, like, write something about those.
You
dunks.
Should.
I think I did it.
Would
the
you
time.
Like a quote from me?
Yeah, I'll definitely... Okay. I'll make sure to follow up with your book.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a loosey-goosey
very loosey-goosey.
Which, you know, for...
Can I just give you a visual? We've been holding and petting dogs the entire time.
Yeah, going back and forth, watching a little bit of play in basketball. Brooke, you're probably a little bit... Are you chilly?
Like, I'm always chilly.
Well, this house is so cold. Like, it could be 85 degrees outside.
Right,
like, it'll be 50 degrees in here. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the open basement.
It's fine.
Like,
It's
a drafty place. So yeah, that should wrap it up for us on this edition of the Blazers Balcony. Perhaps we'll be back at some point in time to talk more about stuff.
Maybe draft. Draft.
Draft, yeah. We obviously got draft. I think draft lottery even before that. Maybe we'll do a few short episodes about playoffs and stuff. I know, Brooke. I'm just throwing it out there. So
yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because also too, like, you know, the way that the particularly the second half of the season went, like, you know, it's, I don't kind of know what it is. Like, and so we really appreciate everyone for listening. But we do have to get to
one last, our favorite thing.
Our favorite thing, the segment that sometimes gets named properly, sometimes doesn't. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
You're going first.
I'm going first. Okay. Yeah. So you're doing amazing, sweetie, where we single something or a person out to just tell them they're doing great. Mine is Tristan Brilanceau.
Brilanceau.
Who a lot of you know as where the F's Tristan.
He's a legend.
He is a legend.
Him.
Legend in the NBA game and in the skate game as well. Tristan is.
Oh, can I tell a quick story?
Know. Sure, please.
So I'm driving to work last game, right? Fan appreciation night, last game. I'm going, and the North 5 is too busy. So I go down NATO Parkway. So I'm driving. And I think I told you this. I saw Tristan in the wild.
I don't know if you did, actually.
He was skating.
Of course, yeah.
So it was Tristan. We all know Tristan's a skater, but he's usually shooting people skating. So it was him and two other dudes, and they're skating right like on the river on NATO Parkway. I pull up. I was like, no way. I've always wanted to see this. So I roll my window down. I was like, all I can think of is, you suck, loser. So I yelled that. And he's like, looks over like kind of confused. And then he realizes my car is orange. Like yeah. He knows my car. So he runs over. He's like, oh my God, bro, got it. You know, this is my impression of Tristan. Oh my God. I was like, who'd say that? And then I saw your car and I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to be late to work. I was like, you do. And then I go, Tristan, you do know it's a game day. He's like, yeah. I'm on my way. And then the other two like were totally confused. And then later he told me when I saw him at work, he's like, the other two dudes are like, who was that? I was like, it was Brooke Holsey. I'm like, oh, cool. I wish I would have said hi, you know, whatever. But they're like, they thought I was like some jerk yelling. I just thought it was funny. You
yeah.
Said closer.
Well, I mean, that's nothing gives a better indication of the fact that you've worked almost primarily with men for your entire career.
Totally.
Than the first thing for you to think of when you're like, oh, I got to say something here would be to insult him. Like that. That's like a straight up male inclination to be like, oh, it's my friend. What should I do here? Oh, let me say something really mean to him. Like that.
And now, but the best part is I've ever since that moment, every time I see him, I say, you suck, loser.
Yeah.
So like we were in Blazers broadcast and he was talking to Dane. I was like, hey, Tristan, you suck, loser. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, he's just like, it's that's our thing. And then last game, like he, you know, you're giving him the shout out and I'm sorry for stealing this moment from you.
It's okay, bro.
But, he wasn't feeling well, so he had to leave. And 5 seconds before that happened, I said, you suck, loser. And I've felt that ever since.
Yeah. So You're Doing Amazing, Sweetie is for Tristan because, I did not go on the last trip of the season to Sacramento. Tristan was planning on going, is on the tarmac doing his job. Is not feeling great. Tries to gut it out. The docs are like, maybe not on this one. And so Tristan wasn't able to make the trip, even though he wanted to.
He works his ass off.
He works incredibly hard, as a lot of those video guys do. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Tristan, one, for all the great work that he did this season and all season long, and also just for, you know, we put ourselves through the ringer sometimes for the job. And
yes.
And so for Tristan to not only is he always trying to kind of get the best stuff and really like, you know, wanting to like get great stuff, you know, like some people are just content enough to be like, yeah, I'm here. I'm holding the camera. I'm doing my job.
No,
whatever.
He cares.
He goes hard. So, and you know, and sometimes that results in, you know, you're not feeling very good.
Abdominal pain.
Yeah. So, shout out to you, Tristan, for,
we love you, Tristan.
For working hard and grinding it out, and you're doing great, sweetie.
I have so
better.
Many names for him. T Money, Tiny Mike T. I have Tristan, for some reason, like we've joked about it. Like I always happen to be there when he does something silly.
Yeah. And well, I mean, you know.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. Exactly.
We were in LA. I think it was LA. And he was sitting in the front row. He just put his like, it was before the game. So he was like shooting and just like decided to take a breather. And sat down and put his camera down like on the seat, and he had a beverage, like a Diet Coke or something, and put it down. And I was standing there getting ready for my pregame hit. I just happened to look over and he accidentally kicks it and dumps it all over the floor. He's like, oh, and then he like runs over and like gets a towel. And I'm just standing there like, I'm so glad I'm here to see this.
Yeah.
And he looks over, he's like, of course you saw this. I was like, I see everything. And it was like, Tristan, for some reason, everything he does, I'm always there for it. And it's a big joke between us. He's like, you always see everything, Brooke. Leave me alone. I'm like, I'm just here. I don't know.
I always have a lot of anxiety when I have a drink around the court. Like the idea of like tripping and like spilling something onto the court has always been like, oh boy.
Well, I watched him literally kick an entire glass or cup of whatever beverage it was onto the floor, and his eyes were as big as saucers. And I just started laughing. I was like, oh, T. He's like, of course you're here to see this.
Of course.
So I love that you're doing amazing, sweetie, for him. Mine is for you, Casey.
Oh, boy.
I know. Because I've said this before, but Casey, I am just a shower-upper. I get here, I put the headphones on, I go. He plans everything. He has all the equipment. He produces. He has the topics. He does everything. And then afterwards, he edits out all my ridiculous comments.
It's self-preservation as well, Brooke. Let's be honest. I take out plenty of the things I say where I'm like, yeah, that might not come across
okay,
the right
way. He takes out both of our comments that are not worthy or proper to be on our podcast. And so I just want to thank you for doing that. You put a lot of work into it, and I just show up and I literally do nothing except talk. And so I really do appreciate you producing and putting this all together, and I love you.
Well, I thank you, Brooke. I love you too. And yeah, it's a labor of love. I like doing it because I love that people like listening to us.
I know. So, I can't believe it sometimes.
It amazes me every time. So
thank you, people out there.
So thank you for everyone for listening. They should be sweeties too.
Like all the
listeners.
You're doing amazing, sweeties.
You guys are great. We really appreciate it.
We do.
Yeah.
That's our final one.
Yeah.
You're doing amazing, sweeties, to all of our fans or listeners. Sorry, fans seems weird.
Yeah. Blazer fans are all great, but if you're listening to the podcast,
we appreciate you so much. And honestly, and I know you do too, Casey, people tell you all the time and they reach out and say, like, you know, Brooke, I had a dream last night. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm like, no. But thank you for listening.
I've been getting a lot of mileage out of that too. I told that story on a recent radio broadcast.
So. To who?
What was I talking about?
You threw me under the bus?
No. Oh, okay. I don't even recall what the context was now, but it was basically like, yeah, what was that?
Well, I will tell you this. Someone who works for us, actually, she's lovely. She runs our, she's actually starting up our basketball camps that haven't been around for a while, our Blazers basketball camps. Yeah. She came up to me. She's awesome. She was like, I have to tell you, I was dying when I was listening to you talk about dreams. I feel the same way. And I just wanted to come over and tell you that I completely agree and you are not alone. I'm like, thank you.
That was the context of it, was I was saying that you were speaking for a lot of people who didn't have the courage to state, I don't care about your dreams. Like, and so I was giving you,
thanks,
Casey. I was giving you respect for being the person that had the fortitude to say what so many others are afraid to say.
I mean, a lot of people had my back. A lot of people gave me a lot of flack.
Yeah.
Well, I just rhymed.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, it's a podcast.
It is a podcast. It's audio. So that's a good place to stop on this edition.
This has been the most ridiculous podcast.
I wouldn't say it's an all-timer, but like
it's up there.
As soon as you were like, he's the one that produces, he keeps us on topic.
No.
I was like, well,
Casey, that is the truth.
No. I was just saying I was going to just add that I didn't do a very good job of keeping us on topic this time, but I didn't want to.
Like, this is not an on-topic. Yeah. This is,
and also we didn't end up eating our Little Caesars Crazy Puffs.
Oh my god, they look so good.
Yeah, they're probably a little chilly now.
We're gonna have to heat them up.
But no, we'll put back in the.
We'll take a picture.
Yeah, we'll take a picture. Even though, yeah, so Little Caesars, if you want to
sponsor
the podcast,
we've been trying this for a long time.
Yeah, you're right. It's I've heard there's some things in the works, maybe though. So we'll see. Well, thank you so much for joining us this season.
You guys have been the best. We love you so much.
On the Blazers Balcony. We will talk to you again sometime in the not too distant future. Trailblazers, watch some playoff basketball here, even though the Trailblazers aren't going to be part of it. Draft lottery is, I think, sometime in mid-May. And then the draft sometime in mid-June. Which, by the way, you mentioned the WNBA. Like, they go from the draft to playing in, 3 weeks, which is, on one hand, it's like, that seems too fast. But on the other hand, it's like, part of me was like, good for them not having to, traverse the globe participating in, 15 different workouts.
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
Yeah, no, that's actually probably a little bit better than the way they run in the NBA.
By the way, Case, last thing. Who are you rooting for in the playoffs, in the NBA playoffs? I will start.
Okay.
I am rooting for Nurk in the Phoenix Suns.
Oh.
And then I'm rooting for Josh Hart in the Knicks.
Okay.
Those are my two, East-West.
So I'm rooting for the Bucks because of Dame.
Well, I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Well, you said East-West.
Okay.
You just gave it to Josh Hart.
Yeah, you're right. I just feel like they're kind of a mess right now.
I mean, you know, they got some things to figure out, and obviously injuries is.
I mean, I will root for Dame till I die, but I'm not sure if I've.
Well, you didn't ask me. I thought you were just saying who you're rooting for. I didn't know you were saying who you were picking to come out of the.
Oh well, it's up to you. Okay. What you say.
Well, I mean, those seem pretty good to me. I'll go with Dame and the Bucks, but also I think Nurk and Nas with the Suns.
And
I think
Nas.
That's not a bad.
Has Nas been playing a lot?
I don't think he plays a ton.
Yeah, I don't think he
does. I mean. Truth be told, I haven't watched a whole lot of Suns basketball lately, but
It was funny. Last thing. I know. I'm sorry. I'm elongating this. We were at a sponsor dinner. No, that's not even true. It was our broadcast dinner last game in Sacramento. And the server, who's also the bartender, was very NBA centric. Mm. And he was like, so I'm really excited for you guys. Like, you got a lot going on. I'm like, what is this guy? Just bring me my soup. You know, like he was just like talking a lot. He's like, how'd you feel about Dame leaving? I was like, bro, no, no. Yeah. Like I literally looked at him. I was like, no. He's like, oh, okay. That's a sensitive subject. Got it. Well, how about Nurk? I was like, shut up. I put my hands over my ears.
This is going backwards, man.
I was like, I want the tortilla soup and the French dip. Don't talk to me anymore. Because it's, you know, like people don't realize how sensitive it is. Like, these are real relationships.
Did you actually order tortilla soup
and
French dip?
Yes,
That's an interesting combo.
And onion rings.
And onion rings. So you had an onion motif going.
I love onions.
Yeah. A good French onion soup is awesome.
They didn't offer that, or I would have ordered it.
Oh.
Tortilla soup and onion rings.
Oh, yeah. I was getting that mixed up.
Yeah, it's okay.
My brain works weird sometimes.
Because we're in the off-season.
A lot of transposing of things over other things.
It's okay.
We'll have to check that out sometime.
All right. Love you. Let's go.
Well, yeah. That's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back sometime in the near future. If you haven't subscribed to the Blazers Balcony and all the other Trailblazers podcasts, now it's time to do it because it's the off-season. So they know we're going to know if we're going to be able to get it. If you subscribe, so please do so. So for myself, for Brooke, last thank you so much. We'll talk to you at some other point in time.
I love you all so much. We both love you all so much. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you so much, especially when you give us a shout out when we see you. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Sorry for going on tangents at times, but it's just because I care. All right. Love you so much. Peace out.